Remember Pearl Harbor. Keep them rolling. The War Production Board, in cooperation with WOR Mutual, presents the 26th in this series of weekly programs of entertainment and information about America's united war effort. Your master of ceremonies is one of the most distinguished figures of the American theater, a well-known playwright and co-author of such outstanding Broadway plays as The American Way, The Man Who Came to Dinner, and the Pulitzer Prize comedy of The I Sing. Ladies and gentlemen, George S. Kaufman.
Last Sunday's program was dedicated to the people of Russia who are giving their blood to stop the Nazis. Our program before that was dedicated to our own men who fought and fell in the Philippines. Tonight's program is dedicated to you. That puts you in rather a tough spot, having to follow the heroes of Leningrad and Bataan. Well, you are in a tough spot. The curtain is up and you are on the stage. The play you're acting in is called Total War. A lot of you have never been on the stage before. A lot of you are worried that perhaps you won't give good performances. Well, that's why this program is dedicated to you, to help you give a good performance. That's why we have brought to New York from Washington one of the most expert directors of our effort in Total War, the director of the Office of Price Administration, Leon Henderson. Also with us, to remind you in terms of drama and music of the purpose of the play in which you are acting, are such gifted exponents of the American spirit as
one of Hollywood's most popular stars, Melvin Douglas. The distinguished star of stage and screen, Eric von Stroheim. The dynamic Broadway songstress, Wynne Murray. And radio's versatile young composer-conductor, Morton Gould, and his orchestra.
And now Wynne Murray opens this dedication of our program to the home front with a concrete suggestion. Miss Wynne Murray.
Drive a brand new car. It's lots of fun to dine and dance and think the wolf who's at the door hasn't got a single chance. But I don't need a brand new car. The old one's good enough to drive. I'll work and save and save and work to keep my Uncle Sam alive. The flame of freedom is burning.
Burning.
Lots of timber and coal.
Lots of coal.
The wheels within wheels are turning. Keep 'em rolling.
Keep 'em rolling along.
We've got the goods to deliver. And that's our ace in the hole. The logs are all in the river. Keep 'em rolling.
Keep 'em rolling along.
Out of bed, work your head off so you can keep your head. Don't trust to one little ocean. The land itself must be strong. So keep the motors in motion. Keep them rolling along.
Don't trust to one little ocean. The land itself must be strong.
The motors in motion, keep them rolling.
Keep them rolling, keep them turning, keep the fire
burning. Last week, an event occurred in this country that is to affect the lives of every individual man, woman, and child in this country. The Office of the Price Administration of our government issued the General Maximum Price Control Regulation. With us tonight is the man who is best qualified to explain just what this vital regulation will mean to each and every one of us. The hard-hitting, and I mean hard-hitting, administrator of the Office of Price Administration, Leon Henderson.
Leon Henderson.
It seems, Leon, that you issued a price-freezing regulation last week. Just what does it cover?
Well, George, with but few exceptions, the regulation fixes the price of nearly everything Americans eat, wear, and use at the highest price charged in March.
That means that there is a lid on food and clothing from here out.
That's just what it means.
And what are the exceptions?
The big exceptions are fresh fruits and vegetables, which no country at war ever tried to regulate, and certain farm products like eggs, beans, mutton and lamb, and dairy products, which Congress will not let us touch until 110% of parity is reached.
Well, right there, won't the housewife get into trouble with her tradespeople because some things are controlled and some are not?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, George. We expect the housewives to learn which items are accepted, like eggs and butter, and not blame the retailer. You and I know there's no finer relationship between buyer and seller than that between the average housewife and her butcher and grocer.
But you do expect the housewives to police the price ceilings, don't you?
No more than is necessary to limit sharp practices. I don't know how high the cost of living would be today if the retailers hadn't done such a swell job in holding down prices up to now. We expect them to be the frontline soldiers in the fight against inflation. And you don't have to police soldiers on duty. My organization, the OPA, will do the enforcing.
That means quite an army of inspectors, doesn't it?
I don't like the way you say army, George, but you probably picked up the connotation innocently. Of course, it'll take a lot of people to administer this regulation. But we expect to make use of the local rationing boards.
The same boards that are now rationing tires, autos, and sugar.
Yes?
I hear you're pretty proud of them.
You bet I am. These boards are committees of neighbors, as Baruch calls them, and they've done a job that's just as important as the draft boards. And I get a thrill when someone of the 24,000 members stops me and says, "Mr. Henderson, I'm working for you. I'm on a local rationing board."
Will the boards also handle rents? You fixed rents, too, didn't you, among other things?
No, we have a different setup for rents, but we sure did stabilize rents. Within 60 days, we'll have at least 325 defense areas with 80 million population covered by rent control.
Yes, but can't a landlord raise the rent during that 60 days?
Well, I'm sure glad you brought that up, too, George, because some short-sighted and un-American landlords have started to give notice to tenants. Where there's a lease, a tenant and a landlord are still bound. Where there is no lease, we will deal with those landlords who try to take advantage of their tenants and sabotage this program. And what's more, you and I know the communities themselves will help us.
Will you explain in terms that we can all understand why all this price and rent control is necessary?
Well, it's simply this. We have more money than we have goods. And the money income is bound to grow bigger, while the volume of consumer goods just has to shrink if we want to make more planes, tanks, and ships. Let me put it this way, George. The average American worker will have enough dollars in his pockets soon to afford a standard of living higher than anyone dared to dream a few years ago, at least 50% above 1929. But we're making munitions instead of automobiles, refrigerators, and radios. By December, George, the quantity of goods on the shelves per capita will be about that of 1935. And a year from that, no more than 1932.
That, Lee Gawn, is a rather gloomy picture.
Not to me, it isn't. Because this is the only way to win this war. For every pound of food, clothing, autos, and everything else this country consumed in 1932... we'll make 2 pounds of the merchandise of death. Guns, tanks, bombers, bullets, with which to lick Hitler and the Japs.
And we've just time for one more item, so suppose I ask you this. Have you any parting advice?
Yes, I'd say to everyone, buyer and seller alike, remember the March price is the top price, so keep your head under the ceiling, and don't blame your government. Blame it on Hitler and blame it on the Japs.
Mr. Henderson has just told us the importance of the Army on the home front. Now we pay tribute to the Commander-in-Chief of that Army as Morton Gould conducts the orchestra in Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones. ¶¶ have been discussing our home front tonight, we have not spoken a word about its fundamental strength, the passion of every American for freedom. Arch Obler wrote a radio play about freedom, what it means to us to have it, particularly what it means to us to lose it. Tonight we bring you that play is directed by Arthur Curlan, performed by one of Hollywood's most popular stars, Melvin Douglas, featuring Eric von Stroheim and a notable Broadway cast in This Precious Freedom.
Morgan.
Yes, sir.
Can't you make this crate of mine go any faster?
Yes, sir.
That's better. Well, I, for one, am going to be glad to get back in the harness again. Of course, I'm not going to admit that to Mrs. Stevenson. I talked to her for the last 10 years about cutting myself off from civilization, having a real vacation, and now I... Hey, Morgan, what's the matter?
The oil line's open.
Oh, boy.
Take it easy, Mr. Stevenson. We're okay. Just fasten your safety belt.
Well, where are you going to land? Where?
There's a field ahead. Hold on. Don't be afraid.
Don't be a fool. I've been in forced landings before. All I want to do is to get down there fast. I've got to get to the city. I've got to get back to my business.
I guess there's no one home, Mr. Stevenson.
No one in the fields. No one to help us. Fine into a vacation.
I guess we better try to flag a ride in.
Wait a minute.
What?
Someone coming. Well, how do you do? We just had a forced landing out in one of your fields.
Hey, wait a minute. Who are you?
Well, I don't see what earthly difference that makes. After all I want to do is to use your telephone.
Go away.
Why, you... Morgan, did you see that? He slammed the door in my face.
Yeah.
In my face, the darn fool. What do you suppose he was thinking?
I don't know, Mr. Stevenson. That guy was awful scared. Look, Mr. Stevenson, here comes a truck.
Well, about time.
If he don't stop,
we'll make him stop. Hey, driver! Driver! Hey! Stop! Driver! Stop! Hey, driver! My plane! I had a forced landing out here. Could you drive into the city? I'll give you $25.
Okay. Jump in.
Morgan, you better stay here with the plane. I'll send someone back.
All right, sir.
Well, I hope you're a fast driver.
Fast enough.
Yeah. For a while there, I thought there weren't any trucks on the road.
Not many.
But this is the main highway. It's practically empty. Why's that?
Are you kidding me?
What are you talking about?
I'm not talking, mister. You are.
Look here. I've been vacationing up in the North Woods. I deliberately haven't read a newspaper or heard a radio for months. I'm a businessman. I've had all the interference from Washington I could stand. What's up? What are those brain trusters cooking up now? Why don't you answer me?
I don't know any answers, mister. You'll find them out for yourself.
At least my own house is still here. Gene. Gene. Gene, where are you? Gene. Gene.
Looking for somebody, fella?
Who?
Stand still. Frisk him, Joe.
Yeah.
Who the devil?
Keep your mouth shut.
What are you talking about?
Start walking, fella.
Walking? What do you mean?
Somebody wants to talk to you.
What are you, the police?
Sure. Start moving.
I will not. If you're police, where are your warrants? Yes, where are your warrants?
Here.
Head. This room. Where? Old man. What is he?
You all right?
Yes.
No, you better not try to stand up. Take it easy.
Who are you?
Me? Nobody. Just sort of clean up.
Listen. It's a mistake. A horrible mistake. I'm John Stevenson. I'm a respectable citizen. My wife. I've got to get in touch with Jean. She'll be worried. She wasn't home.
No, Mr. Stevenson, please keep your voice down. If they come in here again...
Let them come in. I've got nothing to be afraid of. I've done nothing. Come into my house without a warrant. They've no right to do that.
Mr. Stevenson, you don't understand. Please, Mr. Stevenson.
Understand what? Tell me.
Things are different.
Different? What do you mean? Talk sense, man.
Well, I'm trying to.
Well, what?
Well, this part of the coast, it's not ours anymore.
Not ours? What the devil are you talking about?
They've taken it over.
They who?
The Nazis.
Are you trying to tell me there's been an invasion? Get out of here.
But, Mr. Stevens...
Get out, I tell you! Listen! Someone out there! Get this crazy fool out of here! If this is a jail, get me a lawyer! What am I being held for? What are the charges? Get me a lawyer! Get me my lawyer!
So you insist on having a lawyer?
Emphatically. It's my right. 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 You have no right. I tell you, you've made a terrible mistake. I'm no criminal. I'm John Stevenson, an ordinary businessman. If you'll just let me telephone my wife, I'll prove it to you. Just let me phone my wife, that's all.
Your wife? Yes, of course, your wife. Have you any idea where she is, Mr. Stevenson?
Why, home, I suppose.
She's not home, believe me.
Why do you say that?
All right, Lieutenant.
You there.
Jean. Jean. Jean, what are you doing here? What is it? Jean, stop crying. I'm all right. There's been some crazy mistake. Jean, why should you cry like this? You never cry. Jean, the children. Are they all right? Jean, talk to me. Stop crying and talk to me.
Jean knows better.
Better? What are you talking about? Jean, lift up your face. What happened? What's wrong?
Take her away.
No, she'll stay here. Jean, you tell me what this is about. Has everyone gone crazy? Let go of her!
John!
Let go of me! Bring her back here! Bring her... Jean! Jean!
You will be quite calm now, eh, Mr. Stevenson? Yes, I'm sure you will. We have quite a technique for calming down unreasonable people, haven't we?
Why, you dirty...
So you still persist in talking?
Oh.
So, discipline. That is the first lesson you must learn in this new state of ours. In this glorious new state that we're planting here. This is our city now, Mr. Stevenson. And soon this will be our nation. Ours! All of it! Your men are fighting, yes. But we will win. We will win because we followed the plan. The plan, always it was there, and always we followed it. Our friends here poured our propaganda in on you. Yes, they used your own cherished democratic rights. Against you. They cried out, let us speak. It is our right. How simple it was to use your rights against you. So now you have no rights. No one has rights. But we, of the blood, who are the leaders. I was quite carried away, wasn't I? I must not forget to let you speak. We want to know many things. Every detail of your airplane trip. Whom you saw, which of our enemies are hiding up there where you were. I warn you, speak quickly, Stevenson. Who are your friends? Which of our enemies did you meet? Who are your friends? Whom did you meet? Where did you go? Whom did you meet? Where did you go? Where? Why?
Put him here.
Okay.
Dead yet?
No, not yet.
Dead yet? Who said that? Can't see. All mixed up. Vacation. Enemies of the state. Airplane. I don't know. All mixed up. No. Oh, I've got to stop. I've got to think. Got to think things out. What's happening to me? What?
Our glorious new state. We who are leaders. This will be our nation soon.
Voices in my head. All mixed up. Think things out. Got to. Go crazy. My name is John Stevenson. I have a business in the Central Building. I have a house on Arcade Street. I have a wife. Two children. A boy and a girl. We have a good life. A good life.
Is he dead?
Not yet.
Dead? Dead? Dead?
Why do I keep thinking that? Who said it to me?
Dead? Dead? Dead?
Yes. I know. I remember. Going to kill me. I'm an enemy of the state.
Our glorious new state.
But it's so funny. John Stevenson, 832 Arcade Street. I'm a free man. I'm an American.
This will be our nation soon. Ours. Ours.
But how could that be?
Interfering with my business? They have no right to interfere with my business.
I remember. I said that. Yes, all the time I said that.
We must convert to war production.
Interfering with my business.
We must cut profits for the duration.
Interfering with my business.
We must have an overall ceiling on prices.
Interfering with my business.
Our leader, our people, our world.
Interfering with my business. How could I say that?
Our glorious new state.
I understand now. I wanted everything. And I didn't want to risk anything to keep what I had. What I had. What I had.
Your home is your kingdom.
Your own God is your God.
Say what you want to say.
Write what you want to write.
Trial by jury.
Sanctity of person.
Due process of law.
What I had.
John!
Jean. Jean, is that you? No, it's in my head. It's so dark. There's blood in my... It's so dark.
Dead yet, he will be. Dead yet, he will be.
Jean, I'll tell you something very funny. I'm not afraid to die. No, I'm afraid to go on living. If all this isn't really a dream, a bad dream, then I don't want to go on living. Everywhere I turn, they'd be there.
Shut your mouth. You can't do that. Shut your mouth.
Come with us.
Shut your mouth.
We accuse you of.
Shut your mouth.
Give us that.
Shut your mouth. Keep moving. Shut your mouth.
Attention.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
No! I can't live with that. All my life, I lived with freedom. Gene, we didn't know it was freedom, did we? Living in our house, a good life, our neighbors, not hating anybody, and feeling sure of the kids' future because whatever was wrong, we could fix with work and with our votes and with what we knew in our hearts was right. I never said this is freedom, but it was. It was, Gene. When they talked to me about losing it, I said, don't be fools. No one will take it away from us. I thought freedom was like air, always with us as long as I lived. I thought I didn't have to do anything about it, but Gene, I was wrong. I've got the words to say it. What I had wasn't a gift, Gene. It was a victory. And I can't live without it. Do you hear me out there? I can't live without it. To say what I think is right, to do what I think is right, that's the only life I want. It is life. I'll live for it. I'll fight for it. This precious freedom.
There, but for the grace of heaven and our own determination, that it shall not be. There went Mr. Jones and Mr. Smith and you and you and all of us. When Murray tells us what a close call it is, as she sings, "You're a lucky fellow, Mr. Smith."
You're a lucky fellow, Mr. Smith,
Mr. Smith,
to be able to live as you do.
You're lucky.
And to have that swell Miss Liberty gal carrying the torch for you. You're a lucky fellow,
lucky,
Mr. Smith.
Fellow.
Do you know just how highly you rate? You should thank your lucky stars, and I mean, you should thank all 48. Man, you've really got a family tree with Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Lee. You're lucky to have ancestors like that. Don't you know you were born with a feather in your hat? You're a very, very wealthy gent.
You're wealthy.
I don't care if you haven't a cent.
Who cares?
You've got your American way. And brother, that ain't pay. Just throw your hat to the sky, up where the stars and stripes fly, and keep your country rolling in high. You're a lucky fellow, Mr. Smith. Just throw your hat to the sky, up where the stars and stripes fly. Keep your country rolling in high. You're a lucky fellow, Mr. Smith.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.